This is the Deseret News Rise and Shout podcast, episode 341, and I am your host, Adam Mangum. BYU has another game on the road against a highly ranked opponent. How can the Cougars pull off the upset on Saturday night against the Huskies, and do Matt and I believe that it's possible? Also on this week's show, the weak passing game, the strange dissatisfaction some fans seem to have with this 3-1 season, and women's volleyball might run the table. This is the Deseret News Rise and Shout podcast. Find this and other great shows at DeseretNews.com/podcast. Follow us on Twitter at BYU_RiseShout. Join us at halftime against the Huskies for a halftime show at Facebook.com/RiseAndShout. And listen to Matt and I talk about that Washington game right now. All right, Matt, let's just open up with a tweetbag question.
Tweetbag.
Have we ever done that this fast?
I don't know. I don't know that we have. We're just jumping right in there. Jump on in.
Climb on in. Yeah, yeah.
Let's climb on into the tweet bag.
No, let's jump on in, okay?
All right,
that's
whatever.
That's what Daniel Smith says on Facebook. And you can get in, climb on in the tweet bag. It sounds so terrible.
When you say it, you don't even know what you're saying. Whatever.
You know you're saying stuff.
You can get in there.
Yeah, so Daniel Smith on Facebook, which you can do that at facebook.com/riseandshout. What was more concerning, the first quarter of the McNeese game or Cosmo losing his head during a stunt? Matt, that fascinates me on so many levels, the Cosmo losing his head thing. Like, was that on purpose? Was it an accident? He covers his face. There's no photographic evidence of who the individual is.
They can't have photographic evidence. You don't even know. You said he covered his face. We don't know if it's a him in there.
It's got to be a him.
It might not be.
It is.
It's not the same person all the time, right? I mean,
I know that. Yes, it's multiple people, but it's Cosmo. Cosmo's
and you know
guy.
That, and you know that some of the people inside that costume are female.
No, never. That's never the case.
That's not true.
They get them about the same height, you ninny.
I'm telling you,
and it's dudes.
They put girls in there. I'm telling you, I happen to know that that's a fact.
Oh, yeah. You're deep sources within BYU. Okay.
I will tell you that at some point, I can confirm for you that at some point in the history of Cosmo.
Okay, in the history of Cosmo. Right
now.
I'll
say that since 2000 and let's just say that I know they do it.
You're worse than Cougar Board. You're Cougar Boarding it right now. Right now. That's what you're doing.
This is a real thing.
No. Yeah, that's what they say on Cougar Board, too. My friend's friend has somebody, Lavelle Edwards is in his ward. Kalani Sitake went to school with my friend's cousin.
Actually, yeah, that's also true for me.
Oh, my gosh, you're ridiculous. But anyway, I'm assuming it wasn't on purpose, right? His head came off by accident.
Yeah, clearly.
And that was
heads are falling off.
It was a quick reaction by the crew to get him resituated.
Well done. Very well done.
Resituated.
I would have expected there to be a lot more blood.
Well, I'll tell you what. That's the most Cosmo's been on YouTube since that dance a couple of – was that just last year? That was just last year, right?
It was the highlight
of 2017.
Cosmo was in that ESPN bit with Lee Corso and the Oregon Duck.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
His head didn't come off then?
Cosmo's big time, dude.
Cosmo is big time. Well, speaking of big time, let's go to the CougarFan.com. Cougars in the news.
Cougars in the news!
Get all of your BYU sports news at CougarFan.com. They put it all together for you, Matt. CougarFan.com. You don't have to go search. It's all there. Go there.
Search required. Leave your Google machine at home, kids.
Yeah, just go there. Read all the stuff. Trib, Des News, Opponents, Vanquish the Foe, our podcast. It's all there. Number one, women's volleyball swept Pacific and St. Mary's. No, you shock there. And they play three matches this week.
That seems like a lot.
Tonight.
That seems like a heavy workload.
I believe tonight, we're recording Tuesday night, was the game at Pepperdine. I've not seen the results, probably because it's still daytime in California. And Gonzaga and Portland are coming to Provo this weekend. I will say I expect them to win all three. The big question people are asking now, both within and outside the program, I shouldn't say within, I doubt the players are talking about it a whole lot, is whether they can run the table.
Yikes.
You lose at some point, right? And better to lose one before you get to the tournament.
So hard to do.
All right. So Let's go to Cougars and the Pros with the first pick in the NFL draft.
Sit down, Goodell.
The Browns and Jets make a joint selection. Matt, the Browns broke their winless streak by beating the Jets. This has nothing to do with BYU sports. I just enjoy saying that.
Is there a more Jets thing than to be the team that finally lost to the Browns?
Hey, remember,
is there a more Jets thing than that?
Remember, Sam Darnold's going to the Hall of Fame. That was week one, right?
Yeah, he's a Hall of Famer. About that.
He's a Hall of Famer.
We should probably talk about that. Awkward.
And then we had Tyrod Taylor. Poor Tyrod Taylor. Seems like a decent guy. He's played quarterback well. He gets hurt, and then what's-his-face comes in and leads them to their first victory. So he's got to be
the He's guy. Now the mayor. He's now the mayor. Baker Mayfield is now the mayor of Cleveland.
And by the way, the best quarterback, what my opinion was, he and Lamar Jackson were the ones I thought had legitimate futures as, you know, could potentially start on a Super Bowl winning team.
Yep.
Those were the two that I thought, and Sam Darnold was not one of the ones that I thought. Sorry, Jets fans. But getting back to BYU things, Taysom continues to be awesome. He's running for 35 yards. He's running past guys. He's taking kickoffs. He makes tackles. The guy does everything.
Yeah, he's pretty amazing. People mention him to me all the time.
I hear this is a rumor that he also makes all the food for the team and repaired their team jet. Those are just things I heard.
Oh, I didn't hear that he repaired the team jet. I thought what I heard was that he flew it.
He's probably doing both at the same time because that's what Taysom Hill does. I had a friend of mine who is a Saints fan, a coworker, and he has, despite the fact that he lives out of Louisiana, he grew up there, he has season tickets, and he goes to a couple games a year, okay? So he was telling me that he and one of his buddies, the most exciting thing when they get together to watch the games, because they live close to each other, both from Louisiana, is to watch Taysom Hill. They're waiting for Taysom Hill to come in the game and do something now. And he said the biggest cheering he did was on the fourth down play when he got the yards. And then that 35-yard run.
He's their third-string quarterback.
Well, I mean, he's a weapon. And what he said is to me was, I can't believe they're taking on a future Hall of Fame quarterback because they believe this guy can get those short yards better than Drew Brees could throwing the football. And that's what
that's
the decision
pretty crazy, actually.
Right?
That's
the decision
crazy.
Is, and here's the thing. How many times did you worry on third and two in college that Taysom Hill would get the first down? It was like a given, right?
No, third and two is automatic for
Taysom. It was like shocking when he didn't.
Right.
Right. And he would always take it, even if it wasn't the right read. And by the way, his 35-yard run, it was not the right read. I actually think the right read was to hand it off. He kept it, and then he faked that defensive end out of his freaking shorts.
See, but that's how
amazing.
He reads it. He doesn't read it textbook read. He looks at it and says, that guy's not biting the fake, but I think I can get by.
I can beat that guy. He's not a linebacker. His feet aren't going to move fast enough. And by the way, speaking of BYU guys in the pros, Fred Warner now leads the NFL in solo tackles.
Is that good?
I think it's pretty good. But getting back to Taysom Hill, I forgot something. That's Justin Whiting. That's at JN Whiting on Twitter. And you can, of course, tweet at us at BYU_RiceShout. Over under 2.5 TDs scored by Taysom this year for the Saints. Can be either him throwing or running, returning a kickoff. He's a beast. Hashtag tweetbag. I think I'm going to take the under still.
Yeah, 2.5, I'm going to have to take the under.
I think he scores 2 touchdowns this year. But I hope he scores more. It'd be great. All right, Matt, let's talk about McNeese State.
Is it McNeese or McNeese?
I don't know. Whatever. Does it matter? You lived in Louisiana. You tell me.
I have no idea.
I don't know. Hey, how about that? They're faster than us. Do you remember hearing about that?
Yeah, you can't. Their speed. It's their speed is going to be the problem, you see.
Every year, everyone gets all worried about the FCS teams, Matt. Every year, right? And every year, the only way you lose to one of these teams is if you're terrible and you have a terrible game. Unless it's, you know, South Dakota. Is it South Dakota or North Dakota State that's really good at football? Whatever.
I mean, North Dakota State.
Yeah, North Dakota State. Unless it's one of those FCS teams that could potentially be a top 40 FBS team, but there's only one of those typically a year, if there even is one that exists that particular year.
And then they've got to have some things kind of bounce their way.
Well, and you saw what happened against BYU, right? They needed those two turnovers that weren't to happen, and I don't think they win even if they get those. I think it's closer. I think they might have some more points. They got 7 yards of total offense in the second half. 7 yards, playing mostly against backups. I'm just saying. I don't know why people get all freaked out about the, like, oh, it's a trap game. It's not a trap game, right?
Trap game. Plus, are you going to go on your speech about how that's not an actual narrative? Well, it's just something made up by sports writers and fans?
Yes, it is. It is a totally made-up thing. You know what happens? The better team usually wins. That's what usually happens.
No, Adam, it's the psychology.
It's not the psychology. You're talking about the psychology. Of 40 people versus 40 people. You're telling me that all 80 people, coaches and players, are all affected by the same psychology at the same time.
Yes.
Bullcrap. That's not how life works. I've seen fans this week saying, well, Cal was that trap game. Cal wasn't a trap game by even the traditional definition. How was Cal a trap game? Only because we beat Arizona. But, you know, it's not like we beat Arizona. It's not like we beat, you know, I don't know. Pick whoever. It's like people just want a trap game. Anyway, I'll stop with the trap game thing. So let's start off with Andre Hutchins about whoever we played. At AC _Hutchins.
You put your right foot in, you put your right foot in.
Well, that's
out.
What they're called, right? The Pokies?
No, they're the Cowboys or something.
No,
they had the pokes. They wrote pokes on their
helmet.
It's a cow poke.
Yeah, whatever.
A lot of cowboy teams do that.
Yeah, I know. It's weird.
Including your beloved Wyoming Cowboys.
Yeah, I know. It gave me flashbacks of almost getting impaled by a field goal post.
You're saying you almost got poked by a field goal post?
That's right. Are drop passes the biggest issue on BYU's offense right now? No.
Nope.
I've definitely seen replays of Tanner not seeing open receivers or some of our receivers unable to get open. But, man, have been way too many drop balls that have totally killed drives. Guys, we talked about this. I don't think we're having a historic dropped pass here. I don't believe that's true. BYU stats man might be able to help us with that because he's tracked that over the last few years. There have been some terrible drop passes. There are terrible drop passes every year. I don't know. I don't think it's any worse than last year. Granted, it's a lot of the same guys. But our biggest problem on offense is we can't throw the football very well. That's our biggest problem, right?
Yes.
And there's a lot that goes into that. We'll get into that in a second. And Andre says, hashtag beat UW. The Vitman on Twitter, @TheVitman1, says, how much of the current passing woes can be pinned on the receivers? 60%? Seems like we are a few drops away from having more confidence and a solid passing attack. Hashtag climb on in. Hashtag kicker unleashed. By the way, Southam was unleashed. I love it. And hashtag I think we can hang with the Huskies. Matt, we are not a few drops away from a solid passing attack. We are not.
No.
We're not. We're averaging, we'll get to the stats here in a second. We are still one of the worst passing teams in the country. The difference is we can now rush the football this year. And we're a better passing team than we were last year. But again, that's not an endorsement, right? But we're still outside of the top 100 as a passing team. So anyway, any other thoughts on that? Is it 60% on receivers, 50, 40? I don't think it's 60.
I don't think it's 60.
That's too high.
My best guess is to just call it 50-50 and call it a day, right? Because you know that the throws aren't always there. But you don't know how much of that is, you know, are quarterbacks and receivers making the same read, you know, and there's a lot of other stuff at play there. But at the end of the day, the passing game's not good, and Mangum is not a spectacular quarterback.
Mangum can't make certain throws. He just can't. Like, there's certain throws he does not make well. That are very low percentage for him. And I think as time goes on, they're calling those plays less, right? Mm-hmm. And or advising him not to throw there, even if the guy's open. Because it's a risk high risk play, right? Because if he's way off, potential interception, right? Even if the guy's open. So I don't know what the percentage is, but we'll get to the quarterback situation here in a bit because there's some crazy chatter going on that we'll debunk here in a bit. Joel Everett on email says, on a scale of 1 to 10, how worried should we be about the passing game or lack thereof? A 10, right?
10. Oh, it's a 10. If 10 is as high as I'm allowed to go, I'll go ahead and say
maybe a 9 just because the rushing game is good enough that there's a lot of teams on our schedule we're going to beat just because we can push them around, right? But that being said, this is highly worrying that here we are, you know, 4 games into the season and we still haven't figured out how to throw the football, and we couldn't throw the football against a decent but an FCS team nonetheless, right? I think McNeese, I don't mean any disrespect from what I said earlier. I think they have a solid FCS program, right? And they had some good athletes. We saw that, right? There's some guys that, like on a lot of good FCS teams, that probably could play Division I if they got the opportunity, right? But they right. don't have enough of those guys, right? And, you know, but that being said, we couldn't throw the football against 2 years in a row. We can't throw the football against an FCS team. That's not good. It's not good. And
no, it is not good.
How much do you put on the coaches at this point? Or do you just think, or is it a personnel thing? I mean, we put a lot of blame on Detmer last year and said it wasn't personnel, so it'd be a little unfair to give Grimes the benefit of the doubt and his staff without putting a big chunk of this on them, right?
Yeah, but I think we all have kind of agreed that Tanner's not an elite quarterback.
Yeah, but you can have a non-elite quarterback, see Wisconsin, and put up decent passing numbers. Right? I mean, he's not an elite quarterback. You can make the argument he's better than Mangum, then that's fine. I mean, certainly his results have been better. But we should be able to do better than less than 100 in the country, even with Mangum, right? I feel like we should be able to do better. Maybe I just am not seeing it right, but I feel like we should be able to do better.
Yeah, I mean, sure. I mean, I feel like we should be able to do better also, but you know, you've got to also think about the fact that how are we judging this? Are we judging this by lack of passing output? Because that, frankly, from what I saw, a large part of that, at least last weekend, was by design. They're not asking him to throw the football.
No, they are not.
So if it's yardage that you're looking for, or more passing touchdowns that you're looking for, you're not. We're not. I don't think we're going to see a lot of that unless we are required to.
I don't care about total yardage. People are getting. I'm talking about how effective are you when you run an individual pass play. I don't care if we only run 25 a game pass plays if we're winning and have a good rushing attack, right? I don't care how we do offense as long as it's effective. Passing offense, rushing offense, balanced offense, I don't care, right? Right now, the pass plays are not good, right? So, you know, I don't care if he throws for 300 yards. I just care when he throws it that we're averaging, heck, more than 6.5 yards per pass attempt. I mean, because this is terrible. This is terrible.
Yeah, but it seems to be this weird mix, right? So Mangum seems to be a little bit more accurate when he's rolling out, but not if the pass is further than 20 yards. And he's maybe decent in the pocket as long as he's throwing like in between the hashes. If he's throwing out to the edge from the pocket, he's going to struggle.
Yeah.
And so that's not a really good combination of passes that feel like high percentage choices for him. Because if you're rolling out, that's a longer developing play and your options are probably going to be downfield unless you just skip down to a check down, right? If you're passing in a pocket, that may be when you're looking to do something out on the edge, and he can't throw across the field like that all the time. So it's a little bit of a, you know. But so what do you do?
In West Coast offense, I get everything you're saying. In a West Coast offense, run well, they average way more yards per attempt. It's not about the distance past the line of scrimmage. It isn't. It's about creating space in the passing game, right, to get it. He's never going to be the guy that's getting, you know, 11 yards per pass attempt, right? We don't have that offense. We don't have the receivers. We don't have the weapons, right? And he can't make some of those throws, as you point out, right? He just can't. But we should be able to generate at least 6.5 yards per pass attempt just by throwing the football at all. Like, you should be able to do that, right? And we
really, if you look at what we're doing with the jet sweep, right? If you can get Hippo in space with the football, it really shouldn't matter where you give it to.
That's exactly, exactly. That's what I'm saying. It should not, you should be, and that's why the blame's on everybody and not just Mangum, right? We're harping on Mangum. But anyway, we'll come back to the quarterback play here in a minute because we got another question on that. James Lowe on Facebook asks, is it just me or does the timing on the jet sweep seem really off? The receiver is coming across at a different time each play, and it makes it obvious when they will or will not actually give the ball to the receiver. I don't actually think that's true, James, based on the results.
I've not noticed that.
I can't see the wide receivers running routes, but I have to think the same thing is happening with their passing routes that be contributing to the low passing output. I don't know about that because it is hard to see on a TV without the coach's film to see that. But if you look at... let me see, I just pulled this up. Why do I have like 7 windows open? The jet sweep is working. Hifo is averaging 6.3 yards per carry. Colley is averaging 6.8 yards per carry. Right? The jet sweep is working. It is. I mean, it always looks weird, but it's working. I mean, I don't know what else to say. It has been effective, and when it doesn't, when it seems like the scheme is stopping it, they stop doing it until they see a good opportunity. I actually think the jet sweep has been one of the best parts about the offense.
Well, they're clearly using the jet sweep to set up the rest of what they're trying to do. So what we're witnessing is the jet sweep works for a little while, and then it stops working, and you feel like, oh, the jet sweep doesn't work anymore, but it's not working kind of by design. What you're doing is you're requiring the defense to adjust in order to be prepared to field the jet sweep, and when they do that, it opens up other opportunities.
Opens up
and
a 40-yard run for Squally Cannon.
Right. And so that's what Grimes is doing, is he's lulling them to sleep with this jet sweep, and then he's hitting them in the spots that they left open when they moved people to compensate around the corner. So, I mean, that's it, and it's not – I mean, do I think the jet sweep is super fun to watch? It's – no. I mean, sure, when they break it, right, that's great. Do I wonder if this is really – I'd love to say this word. Is this really sustainable? You know, we get deeper in the schedule. Like, is somebody going to figure out a way to balance their defense so they can handle the jet sweep and take away what we're going to try and do after that? And but even if somebody does that, do I believe Grimes is prepared for that situation and has something to pull off the shelf for it? Sure. I don't see any evidence that the jet sweep is not working. I think we're still getting, like you said, we're still getting yardage out of it, and it's setting the offense up exactly the way Grimes has it designed.
Yeah, I don't know why everyone's against the jet sweep. It has been effective. Hifo knows what he's doing. Colley, you know, it's a fewer number, but has done a pretty good job. I think Powell, I'd be fine if he never did it again. And Simon, but I think Hifo and Colley have good instincts when the ball is in their hand, and all you have to do is pick the hole and go. Whatever the defense gives up, you take it and go, right, and get the yardage. When it looks ugly is when there is no hole or when they pick the wrong hole. They busted outside when the hole was inside, right, or opposite, right? That's when it looks ugly. But it has been effective. Hifo is averaging 6.3 yards per carry this year, and it's almost all jet sweeps, right? He has 83 yards rushing this year. Yeah, like you said, will we feature it the whole year the same frequency? It depends on what the defenses do, right? Depends on how they adjust. So this is a great question from Gary Payne on Twitter at FastBreakGP. Freshmen seem to be having an impact in unexpected ways. Can that continue against the likes of Washington and Boise State? Well, they made big impacts against Wisconsin, so I don't see why not. I think Gunnar Romney's going to. I don't think he's going to lead the team in receptions or anything, but he's really come on. And I think Dallin Holker is going to catch more, you know, in the receivers. And then the offensive line has freshmen on it. So, yeah. I mean, I don't know if we beat either of those teams, but they will contribute in a meaningful way. What do you think, Matt?
Oh, yeah. I mean, what I think that what we're seeing is that the coaching staff is just putting the best players on the field.
Yeah.
And they're giving people really an opportunity to beat out some starters or to play their way into some additional playing time. And so, and when you do that, you're going to get freshmen out there that are ready to compete, especially when you look at where this team is coming from over the past couple of years. Like, we've got guys that are freshmen that are going to beat some of these other players out.
Yeah. This is true. And that's good and shows good recruiting. He then continues, Gary does, where are you on in the if Zach Wilson was playing, we could be 4-0 chatter, hashtag tweetbag, hashtag painbag. Matt, I have very strong feelings on this, but I'd love to hear you first.
This is like the Uncle Rico, right? Like, if you put me, coach would put me in the game, we'd won state. I can throw the football over those mountains. I'd be soaking it up in a hot tub with my soulmate. Like, none of that is real, right? I mean, Zach Wilson, so we're talking about a single loss that we lost by 3 points. And we think that putting this true freshman in here is gonna be the difference maker in that game. Listen, if he were playing in practice head and shoulders above Tanner, he'd be starting. Like, this decision is worth millions of dollars to Coach Grimes and the rest of the staff. Like, that's what that decision is worth. I mean, if you're Kalani Sitake, when you're going into the California game, like, there are people out there, for right or wrong, that are talking about you not having a job in 4 months, right? Like, these guys don't make decisions because they want Tanner to feel good about himself or they like his mustache. Like, these are not, like, whimsical. This isn't setting your fantasy lineup, right? So if I just that's silliness. We're three and one. We're playing better than anybody expected us to. Our passing game isn't great, right? But why are we talking about burning the house down? I mean, it's crazy.
Yeah. Well, you're getting we'll talk about that here in a second. The burning the house down. I'm just going to focus on the Wilson question, which is absurd that we'd be 4-0. How could you ever know that? Wilson is a true freshman.
Like, anyone could ever know that, Napoleon.
Right. I mean...
I'm full of Napoleon Dynamite references tonight.
Mangum has done a good job protecting the football, outside of, obviously, the Cal game, right? Against Wisconsin, against Arizona, and against whoever we just played. He's done a good job of protecting the football. Freshmen typically do not, right? And like you said, I know there are people that say there's some weird thing while they're starting Tanner and Zach has played better. Why are they doing that for Tanner and putting other veterans on the bench, like we just talked about? Why? I mean, like you said, it doesn't make any sense to me if Wilson was and what do we, you know, we saw the guy throw two passes, right? I don't have data to say that he's better now. I think at some point we should put him in because Mangum can't make the throws.
And yeah, but at the same time, like, what 3-1 team pulls their quarterback? What are we, Alabama? What 3-1 team is still having this discussion?
That line of reasoning I won't agree with. I don't agree with. You put in the player that you think is going to win the next game. You don't. This isn't a, hey, he won three games. We didn't win because Mangum played awesome any of those games. He didn't make mistakes.
He did exactly what the coaching staff asked him to do
what?
In those wins.
Good. Pat him on the head.
Managed the game.
But pat him on the head. If tomorrow they think Wilson is better, you should put him in. You should not put him in because Mangum's 3-1.
The reason I bring up the 3-1, the reason I bring that up is this, right? What problem are we trying to solve?
The problem we're trying to solve is we're one of the worst passing offenses in the country.
Okay,
we're trying to solve. I mean, that's why people are asking. I get why people are asking. I just think I agree with your first point, which is if Wilson was that much better in practice, he'd be playing already. And to assume that we'd be 4-0 is just stupid. Like, how? Why would we assume that, right? Like, so we're going to have beaten Cal and we'd be 4-0 and everything would be great? Would we have scored 40 points a game? Come on. Your first point was spot on. This is Uncle Rico stuff, right? Like, we're 3-1.
Soulmate.
We're 3-1. So we're ranked.
State. I probably would have gone pro.
We're ranked 20th. Okay. So Johnny Brame, that's at Johnny Dangerman on Twitter, says this. He quoted a tweet from Scott M. Gower, who says, "Me to other BYU fans, I'm excited we're ranked, but there's no way we're the 20th best team. Me to Utah State, Boise State fans, it's not BYU. It's number 20 BYU. Put some respect on it when you say it." I love it. So Dave Broderick on Facebook asks, "Does the ranking seem too high, or I'm just remembering last year? The ranking's way too high."
Yeah, we're not the 20th.
We're
best
not the
team
20th
the
best team in the country. No, I mean the computers. But you know, don't
I'm
think gonna, we are.
But I'm riding this wave.
But I think we might be a top 50 team. We might even be a top 40 team, which is way higher than I thought we'd be. So
yeah, guys, we're going to go to a bowl game.
Yeah.
Like, this is great. We were 4-9 last year. We're going to go to a bowl game. Like, are we competing for a national championship in 2018? No. But we're not going to – a year ago, I was concerned that we were entering, like, this eternal abyss of being these cellar dwellers of NCAA football for the rest of time. Right? Like, that's not fun. Nobody wants to be in that space.
I mean, the Massey ratings have us at the 40th best team in the country.
There you go. Here's to you, Massey ratings.
You know, by the way, they have Cal at 37. So, I mean, and Cal's
now
ranked.
It's a close game. It's a close game.
Because I think Cal's decent. I don't know if they're the 37th best team or a top 25 team. I mean, that's why, I mean, 4 weeks in, these advanced stats aren't done, right? They don't all of a sudden predict things at a 99% confidence level, right? I mean, we still got a lot of football to play, but it is too high. But then our brother Don says, maybe I read too much. Maybe you read too much. Shouldn't Cougar Nation be a little more satisfied with the 3-1 record and a top 20 ranking? This, I think, is your point, Matt, from earlier. If you're sitting here saying, as a BYU fan, this is stupid Tanner Mangum, we got to get him out, we'd be 4-0. You need some help, man. You need help. We're 3-1 and ranked. And at the beginning of the year, I thought we'd be 1-3 or 2-2, best case, right?
Guys, okay,
We
laid a little bit of an egg when California came to town. But we beat Wisconsin and Camp Randall, the number 6 ranked team in the country, guys.
Or did we just get outplayed? Guys, it's not always about what BYU does.
Oh, right? Stop it. It's always about us.
We
stop
have
it.
An opponent, right?
No, it's in our control.
Cal played Zach Wilson, we're defensively in that game. An amazing game. Now, are they that good every week? We'll see. But they played an amazing game. It's not always about what BYU does, right?
I don't know if I'd say they played an amazing game. They were good enough to beat us. They were good enough to beat us that day.
It doesn't matter. That's an amazing game. I'm not saying it would have beat Alabama.
Amazing is a little bit of hyperbole. I just feel like the word's too strong. Am I splitting hairs here? Is that really
your splitting hairs?
Your point? No,
my point.
But I'm gonna jump on it anyway.
Yeah. Well, you're wrong. They played a really, really good game. Fine. There you go. You feel better now?
Yeah,
you're ridiculous. But I think Don's point is valid, which is, I think, the first time I've ever said that in my life. People need to chill out. We're 3-1. And after this week, we'll probably be 3-2 and just outside of the top 25, right? Yeah. Depending on how we lose. Guys, this is best case scenario. And people are like sitting here like, ugh. It's kind of doomsday.
We did something we haven't done. We won a game that we were supposed to lose. Like, for years, the conversation has been around, we win the games we're supposed to, and we lose the games that everybody expects us to.
Yeah, that was the Bronco mantra, right?
That's the complaint, right? That was always the complaint.
Fire Bronco, because that's what he did.
And we're a month into this, and people are still like, I don't know, Kalani Sitake might not be the guy. I don't know, Tanner Mangum sucks. Like, it's like, guys, we're 3-1.
Yeah.
Just enjoy it a little bit. Yeah.
But I'll be fair. I bet you 85% of BYU fans are fine. It's that loud
Don's
minority.
Probably reading Cougar Board.
Yeah, don't read Cougar Board.
So Don strikes me as somebody who'd be on Cougar Board.
Yeah, he loves Cougar Board. He loves the Cougar Board. Let's talk about Washington, okay?
Oh, man.
So here's the game, okay? Washington, you might have heard, is pretty good at football, all right?
Yeah, they're decent.
they still have an opportunity, I believe, to play in the college football playoff with their one loss. Do you, true or false?
False.
Why?
No.
If they go undefeated from here on out, you don't think they could be in the college football playoff? 0% chance or just low percent chance?
Well, statistically speaking, right? It's never zero. Fine.
But, I mean, meaningful chance or no?
No.
Oh, man, really?
Yeah. They're done.
No joke. Huh.
That's just the way I look at it, right? But if I look at the rest of their schedule, right, if they win out, they will have beat Stanford, which I think will look good. We'll be ranked when they play us.
Oregon's decent.
Oregon's decent. Cal's decent, right?
Cal and Oregon might be better than decent. I don't know. Oregon, that game against Stanford. Oy vey.
But here's the thing I think that really may hurt them is that Notre Dame's going to beat Stanford and run the table.
Oh, yeah. I'm not, again, what you're saying is I'm not predicting.
There's only four spots.
I'm not predicting them to make the Final Four. What I'm saying is I think they have a pretty decent shot. Notre Dame running the table is not a given, even though I think their schedule's favorable this year for them to do that.
Wait a minute. California played an amazing game, but
their
this schedule for the Fighting
amazing.
Irish is just favorable.
Well, yeah.
Okay, sure.
Yeah.
I just don't understand.
Why are you defending the Irish?
I'm not defending the Irish. I'm just talking about
facts. When
did
you become a Notre Dame fan all of a sudden?
I'm not a Notre Dame fan. If they get past Stanford, look at the rest of their schedule. It is extremely favorable.
You and I have gone through it already. We've this before.
It's not really germane to our point.
No, it's not at all. You keep going off point.
Sorry.
To talk about my adjectives.
I'm wandering off script.
Yeah,
I'm a crazy man.
So what I'm saying is Washington is very good. Okay. They have a chance, I believe a meaningful one, to make the college football playoff, just like Wisconsin did a couple weeks ago.
Yeah, they're in the mix. No, they're in the mix. They're a top 10 team, clearly.
Yeah, and if anybody in the top 10 at this point, if they ran the table, has a good shot, to make it into the college football playoff, right? Because you're already high up on the rankings, and the committee's going to love you, right? Now, they have a good offense. Currently, according to Football Outsiders, the 30th best offense in the country. They are a pretty balanced offense in total yardage, but it's really about the pass game. They average over 8 yards per pass attempt, which is the top 40 number. Their rushing game is maybe the weak part of their offense. Defensively, Matt, they are what I thought Wisconsin was going to be, but isn't. Which is they are a top 5 defense.
Yeah, they look pretty stout.
And they are really good against the pass, and that has a lot to do with their defensive backs, who are probably multiples going into the next level. Highly talented. And here's my biggest concern about the entire game. You say, well, who cares? Right? Our passing game's terrible anyway. Here's what I'm worried about. They can lock up all of our wide receivers and tight ends one-on-one in press coverage and stack the box against the run. That's what has me most worried about our offense on Saturday night.
Yep.
How do you feel about that?
Yeah, that's what's going to happen.
Yeah, I mean, if our wide receivers are having trouble getting open against Cal, what are they going to do against Washington?
And right? I don't think Tanner's going to have very much time.
No, they're going to come after him. They're certainly going to come after them. That's part of why they're a good pass defense, right? But mm-hmm. They're balanced, right? They're good against the run. They're not terrible against the run either, right? They average less than 4 yards per carry for their opponents against the run. What really comes down to me on Saturday, and we'll get to how we think an upset could happen, but is that this defense is not going to let BYU score very many points at all. I don't believe. It'll be really tough. Their one big weakness, their special teams are outside of the top 75, according to Football Outsiders. They're not getting a ton out of the kicking game. So in a close game, that might factor in BYU's favor, as BYU's had decent special team play. Matt, our offense, we're a good rushing team, and we're a bad passing team. That is not up to it, not a surprise to anybody. But we're 89th according to Football Outsiders, and last year we were like 115. That's a massive step up. And it's the kind of step up you and I in the preseason said we needed to have in order to make a bowl game. And we're there.
And we're delivering it.
Yeah. So we should be excited. I am excited to see what Grimes can do next year, right? With a full year, the system built in, a quarterback who's had time in his system. And the rest of this year, right? Because it'll be hopefully there'll be some growth. What has really surprised me is the defense, Matt. The defense has been what we hoped they would be, but weren't last year. They're tough against the run, but they are actually pretty darn good against the pass. And that was a surprise to me. I thought we'd be good against the run, but we'd be weak against the pass. And this year, at least in the advanced statistics, as well as yards per pass attempt, we're actually probably a little bit better against the pass than we are actually against the run. And I have to say, our defensive backs, I think, are playing much better than I anticipated this year. What do you think? Do you feel like the defensive backs have been better?
I feel like the defensive backs have been better. I it's like this is the defense we haven't had a chance to talk about a defense like this in a long time. It's always been that the defensive backs were suspect, but we think we could do okay against the run.
Yeah.
And what's interesting about this is that it's the inverse of that. And at the beginning of the season, we felt like, oh, you know what? Grimes is probably going to turn things around offensively, and our defense is going to become exposed. And what we're going to discover is that last year's problem, like everybody was really focused on what was going on in the offense because it was so visible, but the defense was really just as bad. That was really the fear, is that that's what we were going to uncover, and that's just not what we're seeing here. Now, is this a top 20 defense? No, right? But is the defense the liability that many of us thought it was going to be heading into this season? Not at all.
Yeah, I didn't think they were going to be a liability. I thought they'd be where they're at. And not to toot my own horn, but I will, mainly because I thought there was a good possibility. It's really hard to prove, but there's a good possibility that last year the defense was put in so many bad situations that it just made them look worse than they were, right?
Yeah, but there's no stat for that, right?
No, but
there's no way to know that.
But Tuiaki's defense the year before had been quite good, right? And I thought, yes, last year was the aberration, right? I thought last year this is more like we expect them. Now, to be fair, we have not played a great passing team yet, and Washington will be the best passing team we've played. So the defensive backs are going to get tested, and Tuiaki and Satake both have been talking about this week that they need to get more pressure on the quarterback, and so far that's not been our strong suit. I will say this, Taki Taki and Tonga and Kafusi have played great football individually. So I think you'll see Taki Taki make some big plays this week still, even though there's now lots of film as him as a linebacker the last four games wreaking havoc. I don't know if Washington will be able to stop that because Tuiaki has been, I think, inventive with moving him around a bit. Part of that's been because of injury. But part of that's he's not just lining up in the same place every play, which is great.
Yeah, it's awesome.
So what does a win look like? What's one thing from your perspective that the Cougars must do on Saturday night in order to pull off the upset? One thing.
They have to hold Washington to under 14 points.
Okay. That's one thing they have to do. I think a thing they have to do is get better production out of the passing game to open up the run. If they can't complete, and I don't mean long passes, I just mean some consistent throws from Tanner early on, good scheming, good routes, where all of a sudden now you've got to get, they have to take a guy out of the box. I think that's one thing they have to do. What's the one thing they can't do if they're going to pull off the upset on Saturday night, Matt?
Turn the ball over.
Yeah.
They can't lose the football because this is an offense that I think can capitalize on that. And that's just another – that's a possession that you give up, and then you give up the score on top of that. It just makes the hole you have to climb out of that much deeper.
Yeah, I think I was going to say the same thing. We don't do enough plays per game to turn the ball over, right? If you're a high-octane offense, turnovers are always bad, but you can kind of roll with it, right? I think with the offense that we run right now, you turn the ball over a couple times and you're going to be in a deficit you can't overcome, right? For sure. The other thing I think that is a big weapon for us is, I'm going to say it again, the kicking game. And I think, you want to score touchdowns, but if we stall out and get a couple of field goals and maybe get some points off turnovers, that's going to be a big deal. Southam is a weapon. I know we joked about that a couple weeks ago with my talk about unleash the kicker.
Unleash the kicker.
But I'm telling you, we have not had a guy like this in a long time. And it changes field position, because instead of having to go for it around the 30 to 35 or try some short punt, you go for a field goal, right?
You go, girl.
And you go, what are you talking about?
What am I doing?
I don't know. Man, you've been weird tonight.
Can you edit that out?
Nope. There's no chance of me editing that out. Are you kidding me? It's comedy gold. At what your was expense. That? I don't know what you're doing.
Think anybody wants a roundhouse kick to the face when I'm wearing these bad boys?
That's right. All right. Prediction time. The line I saw. Oh, I got to update this. Let's see. What's the line on the game? This was from 2 days ago.
Oh, I don't know. I was relying on the numbers you had in here. I thought you had just checked it.
Hey, how dare you rely on me?
Oh, my gosh. How dare you? This is very exciting for the listeners. Now the Google race is on.
How dare you? I'm stalling. Stalled. Say something funny. Stalling. Say something witty.
Stalling.
Say something witty. Don't you have something witty to say?
Where do you go to get your lines?
ESPN has them. 17.5. Points is where the line is, I think, at the moment.
Okay, what's the over-under?
Over-under is 45.5.
Okay, so it changed by a point.
Okay, so 45.5. All right, so tell me over-under BYU is the underdog at 17.5.
I don't believe that Washington covers.
Yeah, I don't believe Washington covers either. Over-under 45 points, 45.5 points.
Under.
I'm going to go under as well. Total yards for BYU. Matt, right now, Washington is averaging on the defensive side of the ball. They're giving up 302 yards, .8. Let's put it at 303 over under BYU total yards.
I'll take the over.
I'll take the over. As well, but just barely.
I'm not sure that's going to make sense here in a minute, but that's fine.
Over under total yards for Washington so far this year, Washington is averaging 432. I'm going to set it at 399.
What are we averaging giving up?
We're averaging giving up 328.
Yeah, I'm going to go over here.
I'm going to go over, but just barely. Passing yards for Tanner. We have this on the agenda every week. It's kind of like the unfair thing. I'm going to set it at 95. Over under 95 yards passing for Tanner Mangum.
I'm going to say under.
I'm going to go over. Over under 78 yards rushing for Canada, assuming over. He's healthy. I'm going to go under. Turnovers for BYU, over under 1.5.
This is turnovers we pick up?
We commit.
Oh, commit.
Yes. Over. Turnovers for BYU.
Over. I think we're going to lose the ball twice.
I agree with you. Turnovers for Cal, same number, 1.5.
Turnovers for Cal?
I'm going to also say over.
Turnovers for Cal.
I think they have 2 as well.
You believe Cal will have 2 turnovers?
We do this every week. I don't understand why you're having troubles. This is like me explaining answering
machine game. You believe Cal is going to turn the ball over in this game.
Oh, my gosh. Yes, twice. All right, moving on.
Wait a minute. You believe the University of California We'll be turning the ball over in this game.
Hey, it was a typo.
Oh my gosh. And he jumped all over me like, you do this every time. Turnover means this. And I'm like, for California.
Yeah. All right.
Yes, fine. For California.
I hate Berkeley so much, they're going to turn the ball over twice in this game.
They're not going to turn the Washington. Washington's not going to give us two turnovers.
So you're doing under. All right.
I'm taking under.
So Randy Whittle asks a very good question. If we lose to Washington, what is the point difference between respectable and overrated? I think if we keep it within two touchdowns-ish, that's respectable against Washington on the road. I mean, they're favored by 17.5 points, for heaven's sakes. What do you think?
Yeah, I think if you're inside of three scores, one of those being a field goal, right? So in that like 17-point range. But three touchdowns is a beating.
Three touchdowns is a beating and will hurt our long-term ranking, right? But losing this does not mean we're out of the top 25 for the rest of the year, right?
No, it does not.
You go and beat Boise and Boise, you're right back in this thing.
Well, and this is, you and I may have slightly different feelings about the likelihood of this team making the playoff, I think we both agree that this is probably a top 10 team at the end of the year.
Yeah.
You know, or at least a top 15 team at the end of the year. Yeah. So losing to Cal and Washington, depending on what else happens the rest of the year, yeah, this is not a, you will forever be banished from the top 25.
No. Now, I don't know if we'll finish the year ranked or not. There's a lot that will have to be played out, and it also depends on the quality of you know, the teams when we play them, right?
Right, and what else happens in the rankings. Yep. There's a lot of stuff to play there.
Yeah, a lot of stuff. So final call, Matt. What's your score against Washington?
So I have I'm obviously still predicting this as a loss for BYU. I have the final score at 24-10.
Okay, 24-10. I am going to go with something very, very similar. I think it's a 27-14 game for Washington. I think BYU hangs around. The defense keeps it close. I just don't think offensively we'll be able to muster enough. Now, you and I, besides McNeese, have predicted every game wrong. Is that true?
I know I have. You made that point abundantly clear last week.
Yeah. So, anyway.
I feel like you kind of took me out of the McNeese.
Oh, boy. When I said to be witty before, I don't mean it. Just stop. Jeremy Ashton on email asked this question. Though it is great to be in the top 20, I am not sure what to think about our team after the victory on Saturday. We talked a lot about that. So let me paraphrase his. After the game, I questioned how we beat Wisconsin the week before. How did the game on Saturday impact your predictions for the rest of the season? None.
This is not a good measuring stick, guys. There was a lot of people sitting. The team came out flat against an FCS opponent that was there to play. This is not useful information.
You and I, let me ask this. Are the rest of the season predictions the same as they were last week for you?
I have not changed any opinions.
Okay, so you believe a loss this week on Washington, we just said, beat Utah State, beat Hawaii, beat Northern Illinois, lose to Boise, beat UMass, beat New Mexico State, lose to Utah.
Yep.
All right, so we're both at 8-4.
I didn't get any additional information, right? After the Arizona game, I felt like we won a game I thought we were going to lose. That kind of changed my mind. California, now we lost a game I thought we were going to win. I was confused like everybody else. That kind of changed my mind. Beat Wisconsin, like that was a game we weren't supposed to win. It's like, so that adjusted my expectations. You don't get any good information out of beating McNeese State.
No, you don't. And that struggle in the first quarter, we're overreacting to that, I believe, based on the stuff you just talked about. I a lot of people are sitting. You're not going to open up the playbook in this game. You're just not, right? You're not going to do it. You're not going to give more film.
Look at what
for
we were doing in
opponents.
The second half. Like there was nothing. They weren't giving up anything in the second half. It was extremely vanilla at that point. So the whole we should have had a better passing stats and all this. No, you look at the play calling in the second half of that game, it almost feels like, okay, now we just got to get through the next two quarters without providing any game film for anybody to look at that will be useful.
Or getting anybody hurt, right?
Right.
So, yeah. Jeremy also asked, what will your game day activities be to get ready for the game against Washington this Saturday? I have a full day of other stuff, so quite frankly, almost nothing. I'll just be sitting down and watching it after I get a bunch of other stuff done.
Yeah, I'm hoping to make it, but have they announced the time yet?
Yeah, like a couple weeks ago. Yeah,
what
we
time
talked
is
about it?
It.
Like 7:30 Central, I think.
It's okay, I'm good.
It's the primetime game on Fox. Remember,
I'm good
we
because
talked about
my
that last week.
My third child, my son, is opening up his flag football season on Saturday.
Nice.
And I'm on the staff, so I'll probably – it is game day, so we will have a full day.
Yeah, full day. And by the way, if you, like Jeremy, want to email us, you can do that at riseandshoutpod@gmail.com, riseandshoutpod@gmail.com. Spencer Thurman on Facebook asked, before the season began, many wondered if Kalani's job would be safe at the end of the season. Those people were wrong. Has the team already done enough to get him off the hot seat?
Yep.
Even if BYU loses a game or two, they have no business losing. Hashtag jump on and hashtag face back. Yes, we're done. Can we stop having this conversation? He's not on the hot seat anymore.
That conversation is now over. If his seat was hot before, it's not now.
It would have to be some absolute disaster, like we lose to UMass and New Mexico State and everybody else the rest of the year. Right? That's.
But even then, I don't even know that it does.
Yeah. If we lose to UMass and New Mexico State, who are historically bad teams, yes, he'll be done. I mean, heck, he might resign. That's not going to happen, Matt. That's what I'm saying. I just laid out an impossible scenario, and you're
it's
arguing
like a
with me again.
Scenario.
Like, you're arguing with me again. I don't even understand what you're doing
meat.
This week.
I think you bruised my neck.
Yeah, I don't know. The point is, he's off the hot seat. He's off the hot seat. We're both agreed, right?
Sure, I'm agreeing, but still arguing with you.
Yeah, I don't understand what you're doing this week.
I'm like, I don't know. I'm very confrontational tonight.
Yeah, you are. I don't get it. So even if they say lose to Utah State or to Northern Illinois between now and the end of the season, right? I still think he's off the hot seat.
Yeah, it would take, like you were describing before, something like a New Mexico State loss or UMass.
And in conjunction with a bunch of other losses.
Right.
That those losses in isolation, one of them does not get him fired, right?
Right, but that loss, a couple with one of these other losses, probably might even prevent you from getting to a bowl game, right?
Right, yeah.
In which case, yeah, that would be a problem.
Well, but even then, I don't know if he gets fired.
What did we just switch places? Did you really just say that? Well,
no,
even then,
no.
I don't know that
I
he gets
said,
fired.
No,
man.
I said if he loses all the rest of the games, he gets fired. That's what I said. I didn't say if
oh,
he
I
loses
disagreed
a
with
games.
That.
That's what you did. You disagreed with that. Yes.
That's crazy.
You're insane. I don't know what you're doing today.
That makes no sense at all.
Yeah. What I'm saying is I think even if we – he's off the hot seat. Why am I playing hypotheticals? He's off
Why
the
are we
seat.
Even still talking about
he's
this?
Done. He's
done. He's going to have a job at the end of the year.
I didn't think he was that – I didn't think his seat was that hot to begin with. You know what I mean? Like BYU is not a normal place when it comes to that stuff. Now – if a bunch of off-the-field stuff happened, he could get fired. But we've talked about that before. That's your most likely. Matt, bold projections have started. I don't know what any of them mean. But I've seen us in the Frisco Bowl against, like, Akron. I've seen us in the Arizona Bowl against UNLV. Wah, wah, wah. You know, at this point, we're just hoping that one of these conferences doesn't qualify enough teams and ESPN puts us in a decent bowl. Right? That's really what the
That's all we could hope for.
Game.
All we could ever dream.
Well, Matt, we're going to finish up on the college football playoff.
Playoff?
Dang it. I was too slow. You're too fast.
Playoff?
All right. So last week you had Bama, Clemson, Notre Dame. You're riding Notre Dame until they lose a game they should win, which they will, by the way, because they're Notre Dame, and Ohio State. Last week, I had Bama, Clemson, Oklahoma, and Ohio State. You swapping out any of your teams based on this past week?
No.
So you're sticking. I think that's smart. I got Bama, Clemson, Ohio State, and how much do you ding Oklahoma for that game against Army?
Zero.
Yeah, I kind of feel that way. I'm going to stick with Oklahoma. Interestingly enough, both of us believe the Pac-12 is locked out this year. They're the they're the odd team out. And in your scenario, you have the Big 12 once again getting locked out. But I think this is the year. I think Washington's problem is they're going to lose one of those games. Right? They're going to come to the end of the year with at least two losses. And I don't know if there's going to be a two-loss team in the playoff this year, because some of these teams have very favorable schedules. Do you feel better that I said very favorable about Notre Dame's schedule?
Very nice. Very nice.
Ohio State, I think, could run the table. I don't think anybody's beating Alabama. And Clemson, the ACC's terrible. So I think those three teams have to do something dumb. So that means there's one spot left. And like you said, if Notre Dame runs the table, I don't know. I don't know who wins, who gets that spot if Notre Dame and Oklahoma run the table. I don't know who gets that spot.
It's Notre Dame.
I could see an argument both ways. You know, I've heard it both ways.
Stanford's going to win their conference, but their one loss is going to be to Notre Dame. And that's what's going to – that will be their doom. Why the Pac-12 is not getting in.
Their doom?
Did you just say
their doom?
I did. That is what I said. But, you know, you look at Oklahoma's schedule. Like, they got some real games there. If they win those games, I think they can play themselves into the mix. The problem is just that nobody's going to beat Bama. Ohio State's got a favorable schedule left.
But I think Ohio State Clemson's could lose just, a game.
And Clemson's this, good with a favorable schedule.
Yeah, here's the thing for Stanford. They should have lost Saturday against Oregon. They did not play well enough to win.
That game got handed to them.
Oregon made these just horrendous mistakes that are on some individual players, but also on the coaching staff. You know, a true freshman running back, you've got to tell him in the huddle, you're not stretching for yardage, right? Like, you know, I mean, that's on the guy, but gosh, I'll tell you. I think Washington beats Stanford. I think Stanford loses twice. I don't think they're that good. I think the problem for the Pac-12 is basically this. They don't have a really good team this year. I don't think any of these teams are a top five team, right? So that means they're going to lose some games. And I think the Big 12, I think Oklahoma might be a really, really good team this year. But like you said, they still have to – I mean, Oklahoma State's not going to be a walk in the park.
Nope.
And we talked about this. Oklahoma State is a team that, you know, could have made some noise before they lost, right? But I jinxed them. I jinxed the entire state of Oklahoma by saying that both of them had a shot at the college football
jinxed
playoff.
The entire state of Oklahoma? Seems severe.
I did. And mainly because I'm still mad at Boone Pickens for making fun of BYU. Didn't he make fun of BYU?
Isn't he the one that – I don't remember.
Where's Provo or something? I can't remember.
Yeah, I don't know what he said. Who cares?
Yeah, it doesn't matter to me.
T-Boone Pickens.
T-Boone Pickens. Anyway, Matt, any other thoughts this week? I mean, anything you want to talk about? Oh, by the way, halftime show on Saturday night, right?
Oh, I'm in.
Facebook.com/RiseAndShout. We usually get a couple dozen people come and watch, so come be one of those people.
Leave a comment. We're guaranteed to respond to it.
And we have every time.
I don't think we've missed a single
flood
comment.
Flood us with comments. Except for people like our sister-in-law, Jen, who she said she was watching it live during the third quarter and was leaving comments as we were talking.
Oh, that's unfortunate. So we're not going to respond to those.
Those we won't respond to because we're watching the game again. But Matt, any other thoughts? I mean, I'm stoked about this season. I'll be honest. This season has exceeded my expectations, even if we lose in a big way to Washington on Saturday night. I'm not going to feel good about the loss, but I'm going to feel good about the season at 3-2.
I thought this season we were going to have to kind of slog our way through it, right? And that's not what this is. We're going to win some games. This is going to be fun. This is a fun team to watch. And it's cool to see them kind of turn it around.
Yeah, you thought we were a borderline bowl team at the beginning of the year.
That is correct.
You thought 5-7 was probably as realistic as 6-6.
That is correct.
And you don't feel that way anymore. And I thought we were a little better than what you thought, but I did not think 5-7 was a crazy prediction either, right? I didn't think like, oh, that's crazy. The year after you're 4-9, you can't think 5-7 is crazy stupid, right? But so there's that, and I think that's great. And there's some great players to root for on this team. Taki Taki, I love watching him play right now. I mean, every defensive play, I find where he is in the formation before the snap because I want to see what he's going to do.
And so does every quarterback we play.
And Kaufusi, we talked about this last week. You thought I was maybe overplaying him a little bit, but he has played way better than I thought. And I've been very critical of him last season that I thought people were overrating him. I don't think he's overrated anymore.
Yeah, he is playing as advertised.
He's playing really well. And, of course, we've talked about Tonga as the guy that probably might be the best player on that defense, but he's not going to have the stats that wow anybody because of the position he plays. But, man, he had that bull rush. Was that against McNeese State where I just felt bad for that offensive lineman? Do you remember that play?
Yeah.
And he just walks the guy backwards and then kind of tosses him aside. And if he doesn't get hit on the side by, thankfully for the McNeese quarterback, getting a block by his running back at the last second saved him some pain. Which, by the way, how are you supposed to sack quarterbacks in the NFL anymore?
Did you see the one? I saw somebody posted a video like they're out in their front yard. And they're like, this is how you're supposed to sack a quarterback. And it's a guy and this girl who's being the quarterback. And he picks her up, sets her down gently on the ground and puts a pillow under her head. And like he's tucking her in. And then he's got his buddy with a ref shirt on who pops into and throws a flag.
Yeah, yeah. I've seen it's other insane. Ones where they're putting babies into cribs. This is how you're supposed to tackle the quarterback. I think our brother Sam sent that, right? On texting, right? Wasn't that him?
Yeah, it wasn't me.
Yeah, you wouldn't have been that clever. Just kidding, dude.
Wouldn't have been clever enough to steal someone else's joke and put it in a text message. Like,
oh no, that actually sounds just perfect for you.
That's actually exactly what I would do.
But anyway, it's been great.
As a matter of fact, I'm going to text it to you right now.
But I want to thank the listeners, Matt. We are having our best year ever. And from a listener like numbers standpoint, and we don't talk about that much here on the show because I don't think people care. But I just want to thank the listeners, the ones that have been with us for years, for talking us up, and for those of you that are new that came because somebody recommended or you found us at Deseret News, we really appreciate it. Last year was rough, right? As a fan. And people stopped listening at the same level because nobody wanted to listen about the season because it was terrible.
Nobody wanted to talk
about
it.
And you and I had nights where we recorded, even though neither of us really wanted to do it because the season was terrible. And it's fun to be excited about BYU football again. Like you said, towards the beginning of this podcast, this is not competing for the Nationals, for the college football playoff, right? And this team isn't going to do that. And maybe we'll never have a team that good again, right? I don't know. There have been so few in our lifetime. But at least we're going to be competitive, right? And that's fun, right? And if Saturday night we pull off an upset, I don't know how high I will be on that. I won't sleep on Saturday night. And we got the.
Oh, I'll be like all out fan hysteria if that happens.
Yeah, it'll be amazing. Well, thanks everybody. You of course, as we said, check out the halftime show against Washington at facebook.com/RiseAndShout. Don't forget to check out this and other great shows at DeseretNews.com/podcast. Thanks again, everybody, for downloading and listening, and we will catch you next time.
Go Cougars!